Hari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Page 24.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Old bag, yes.
Okay, next, Kasyapa warns Diti that this particular time is most inauspicious and describes Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, the king of the ghosts, sitting on the back of his bull carrier, travels at this time accompanied by ghosts who follow him for their welfare. Right, so it's not that Shiva is inauspicious. Hmm. It's just that when Shiva moves, all his friends are not auspicious. Right? Because he's so auspicious, so merciful, that he is giving them shelter. No one wants to give them shelter. You know, it's just like, you know, hey, we have a group of about 10 or 12, you know, ghosts, paisachas and that, you know, who have no place to stay this weekend. Would you mind putting them up for 2 days? No, okay, so that's the whole problem. So therefore, out of all the demigods, Shiva's the only one that will take care of him. Right, because everybody's servant of Krishna, right? Though the covering makes it, you know, not very obvious. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in Krishna's mind, everybody has to be taken care of. Right? Whatever the living entity. So every living entity is getting what they want. This idea that everybody's just, you know, if they're not doing perfection, then everybody's going to suffer. No, everybody in the material world suffers anyway, even if they're doing things pretty much correctly, right? Mm.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
No good turn goes unpunished,
yes.
Right? You know. Yeah. So, because as the Yamadut has pointed out, there is the mode of goodness is as good as it gets in the material world. And mode of goodness means it's mixed with passion and ignorance. A little bit. Because there's no pure goodness in the material world. Right? Only in the spiritual world. So in the material world, even someone in goodness who's following all the rules will do something wrong. Right? So according to the Yamadutas, everybody is punishable in the material world. Right? But, so Krishna is taking care of everybody. Yes.
Can we say that in a way they're correct, because if you're, I mean, in the material world by consciousness?
No, everybody is, of course. Yeah. That's their point. That means the Yamadutas didn't catch the point that chanting the holy name clears everything. Yeah. That's up to that point. They know everything very well. Mm. You know, so everything that they're saying is exactly correct. Okay. But because they didn't consider that he chanted the holy name, that's the weakness in their argument. Right? So that's why the Vishnudutas tell him that they're not actually that well educated. You know, they're immature.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just like we see as, what was that king? We just had another thing here.
Yeah.
That came up before again, also the element of being immature.
Yeah. Was that in the second canto?
Jarabhartan the
queen? Yes. Jarabhartan the king, yes. So it's coming from the temple class. So that would have been fifth canto.
Yeah, that's last.
Yeah. King Rahugada, yes. So there, because he knew also Dharma very well. But it's not mature, because it only becomes mature when you take up bhakti, because that means then you're considering the soul. Right? And it's just like a child. You don't consider them mature because they just do things that they want and they don't understand the reactions. So when they're up to the level of what the common society considers mature, you know, or well considered, then you're an adult. But in the Vedic, unless you consider also the spiritual, you still haven't actually become mature.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's being a kid, there's being adult, then there's being mature. Right? So it's another thing. So generally we take adult means mature. No, adult just means a kid that's grown up. You know?
Yeah, we see that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so does that make... We have to be careful in all this because we're dealing with devotees. You know, just like in the Brihadbhagavatamrita, we're dealing with devotees. So what we're seeing is the glories of the devotees, but then there's another set of devotees that the glories is even greater. Right? So all devotees, it's perfect. It's just a matter of there's more perfect and more perfect than that. Right? So it goes on unlimitedly. Like for Srimati Radharani, her glories are increasing unlimitedly at every moment. Right? Because he's a natural counterpart of Krishna, who's expanding every moment. Does that make sense? So, in here, when we see points being pointed out that appears the negative, it's only being pointed out so you can appreciate something higher.
Yeah.
But it's not that negative falls on these personalities. You know, like in the Brihadbhagavatamrita, it's simply their humility. You know, does that make sense? Because otherwise, some people at the arena of Kamsa, they were looking at Krishna and thought, here's two incompetent kids. Right? They're looking at God and that this is what they're coming up with. So that's the whole point. Shishupal, I mean, that was nothing. He can come up with unlimited. He's been since his birth, been, you know, blaspheming Krishna. So he comes up a very, you know, choice, you know, well thought out reason. You understand? So finding a fault, that's not the big deal. That's easy, right? Mm-hmm. If it wasn't a position of perfection, then why would Yiddish have the most derogatory terms of any language in the world? You know, they've got nuances of nuances of terms. You know, you're not just an idiot, but you're some subtle form of an idiot, right? You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that aspect is there, but its use is simply to figure out the difference between something, right? Because there has to be difference, right? It means like, okay, everybody's an idiot, but you have to be able to discern which kind of idiot, you know? Otherwise, then that's not very mature. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yeah, you got so much more taste.
Yes, you got so much more taste, yeah. So the point being here is Lord Shiva, his name Shiva means auspicious. And he's so auspicious that he has the character that he can give shelter to those that no one else will give shelter to. That's his specialty, right? Because technically Shiva, this aspect of Shiva is a further, you know, expansion of this aspect of Mahavishnu. Right, Sadashiva, where you're dealing with the material energy. So that eventually goes back to Lord Nityananda, or Lord Balaram. So, as we see, it's Lord Nityananda is the most merciful. Right? So it's just a natural conclusion. But he's most merciful to everybody who's surrendering to Krishna. But in this, where you this transformation as Shiva, then he's dealing with those who haven't surrendered. But at least they'll take shelter of authority. Right? Does that make sense? Because if someone follows authority, even if it's purely mundane, they get more benefit than if they don't follow authority. Right? Because following authority is very, very important. Because then you have access to all kinds of knowledge and experience from those from before. The Vedic knowledge, those who have practiced it, and everything like that. Even on the day-to-day mundane thing. Your grandparents can tell you things that, you know, would take you, you know, 40 years to figure out. Why? Because it took them 40 years to figure it out. Right? You know, so they can tell you, and then you get benefit. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Lord Shiva, the king of the ghosts, sitting on the back of his bull carrier, travels at this time accompanied by ghosts who follow him for their welfare, right? They get the benefit, not he gets the benefit. He doesn't need them. It's not like someone else who has followers and they need the followers for their power. No, he's just moving at that time, and then they're able to move with them. He gives them shelter. Right? Lord Shiva's body is reddish, and he is unstained, but he is covered with ash. Why is the reddish? Because we know the aspect of the blue. But the reddish is there is because even in ignorance there's some passion. Right? Because that's the whole thing, because of anger. Right? Then you get the anger aspect of the mode of ignorance, then that has that reddish. Because he appeared because Brahma became angry. Right?
Yeah.
He is unstained, but he is covered with ashes. So he's pure, but he covers himself with ashes. So. His hair is dusty from the whirlwind dust of the burning crematorium. He is the younger brother of your husband. He is the younger brother of your husband. Oh, okay. Okay. It means the husband is speaking. Okay. And he sees with his three eyes. Right? So that means past, present, and future. Right? Mm-hmm. Lord Shiva regards no one as his relative. Yet there is no one who is not connected with him. Right? So that's the thing. No one's a relative, so you don't have the material connection. But at the same time, he's kind to everyone. So everybody is connected to him. He does not regard anyone as very favorable or abominable. We respectfully worship the remnants of his foodstuff, and we vow to accept what is rejected by him. Although no one in the material world is equal to or greater than Lord Shiva, right, within the material world. So he's actually greater than Brahma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? So within of all the personalities in the material world, he's the greatest. And although his unimpeachable character is followed by great souls to dismantle the mass of nescience, he nevertheless remains as if a devil to give salvation to all devotees of the Lord. Unfortunate foolish persons, not knowing that he is engaged in his own self, right, means in his own absorption on the transcendental platform, right? Himself as a servant of the Lord, yeah. Right? Because he's not a jiva, he's Shiva Tattva. So he says, but he still knows who he is and who Krishna is, and he's serving. Okay, those who don't know this laugh at him. Such foolish persons engage in maintaining the body, which is edible by dogs, with dresses, ornaments, garlands, and ointments. Demigods like Brahma also follow the religious rites observed by him. He is the controller of the material energy, which causes the creation of the material world, right? Because his wife is the material energy. She's the one that maintains, creates everything here, maintains, destroys. He's her lord, right? So he controls her. Is that? He is great, and therefore his devilish characteristics are simply imitation. Right? So sitting in the crematoriums and looking the way he does, it's only imitation. One, it makes him accessible by all those who don't have any shelter anywhere else. Right? And you also have the aspect of that doesn't come out here, but in other places, that Lord Shiva dresses like this and hangs out like this because then he doesn't have to associate with all these very materialistic demigods. Right? Because these ghosts in that aren't proud of their position, right? They know it's not ideal, right? But the demigods think they're doing great, right? So you want to avoid that, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the thing. So it's actually better association on one level, right? If it's a festival and that, the demigods are at their best, so they're going to be God conscious. So then being at those programs and associating, then it's very nice. But on a day-to-day basis, then it's a little rough.
He's kind of like Jesus. He's kind of like Jesus.
Yes, just add some ash.
More, yeah.
Like that, yeah. That, 23 to 29. Yes, because it mentions in the Bhavishya Purana that he was practicing Dharma, but he would preach Upadharma. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, just be good, be nice, turn the other cheek, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you had people that were just absorbed in anamoy.
Yes.
Right? So to get them up to pranamoy, then that's what you talk about. Because if you go from anamoy to dharma, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, anamoy to pranamoy, hey,
okay.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada in his purport in verse 27 gives an explanation for the word pisacha, devil. Right? Lord Shiva's uncivilized, devilish characteristics are never abominable because he teaches the sincere devotees of the Lord how to practice detachment from material enjoyment. He is called Mahadeva, or the greatest of all demigods, and no one is equal to or greater than him in the material world. He is almost equal with Lord Vishnu, right? Because he's a transformation. So it's like yogurt is almost equal to milk. But it's transformation, so it's not quite. Right? Because from milk you can get yogurt, you can get so many things, and from yogurt that's it. You know? Although he always associates with Maya, Durga, he is above the reactionary stage of the three modes of material nature. Because he's not controlled by her, meaning in her occupational duties. He may be controlled with her on the ashram side in a relationship. Right? That's natural. Because the point is if you're giving, this is a very key point, is if you're giving shelter to someone, right? Now, the natural thing is, how do we know that shelter is consistent? Right? How can we be confident that that shelter is there? Right? Because we see is that control makes us confident.
Yes.
Right. Because control means that I can make it work the way I need it to work. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means if the dependent can control who is their shelter, then they will feel confident.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically a mostly unknown fact within this world.
Yes.
You understand? So that's the whole point, is that therefore he's not controlled by her in her occupation of being controller of the modes. But it doesn't mean that he's not controlled by her in an emotional relationship as husband and wife. Does that make sense?
So yes. In a work situation, does that also apply?
Yes, you have to apply it there, but because it has a different nature, it has the principle, but it'll be less emotional. In other words, in the occupational, if the people who are supposed to be doing a particular job are able to get what they need to do their job, then that will work. So there's an opportunity that they can come and say, hey, this is not working well, we need this, we need that. And rather than telling them, you know, go back to work, you know, you consider it.
Mm.
So it works there, but there's not the emotional element. But in the home element, then that emotion is the prominent. The other one's profit, the home is emotions, right? Relationships.
Yes.
Right? Principles are always the same. It's just a matter of where you're applying it. Okay. Does that make sense? How he's above, but at the same time, it's not that, you know, it's just like he's sitting there with the sages, with his wife sitting on his lap. You know? That might not go down so well. You know, you walk into the temple, Bhagavatam class, is a grihastha devotee giving class, his wife is sitting on his lap while he's sitting there talking about the material world and not getting attached, and everyone's going there, yeah, right. You understand? But no, it does, because there on that side it is, but on the other side it's the other side. So that was the point where you what was his name?
Chitraketu.
He was laughing, you know, that here is the person who's totally detached from the material, anything in the material world, but at the same time his lap, which is his wife, which is the total material energy, is sitting on his lap. You know, in front of the sages. So they're all renounced, they're all sannyasis. Like that. He's sitting there with his wife sitting on his lap, right? You know, that wouldn't work out so good, you know?
Funny.
Yeah. Yes.
She's Shaktitattva? Is she higher
consciousness? Yeah, she's Shaktitattva. No, no.
No.
No, because she means there's two kinds of tattvas, Shakti and Purusha. Right? Not two kinds of Shakti, so there's two kinds of positions. So Purusha is always in a superior position to Shakti, right? But they match, right? So when you have Krishna, you have the internal potency, then the transformation, you have Shiva, you have the external potency. Right? And we're in the middle, so we can work under either. Yeah. Does that make sense? But he's Purusha, so he's superior. Like
mm-hmm.
Okay. And although he's in charge of devilish characters in the mode of ignorance, he is not affected by such associations. So here, devil meaning paisach, not meaning red character with little horns and a trident. Yeah. Yeah, paisach is just a kind of ghost. Like that. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on verses 25 and 26 as follows. He sees with three eyes, the moon, the sun, and fire. Because of this, he immediately bestows the results of offense. Quote, but he is without any relation to me, unknown, end quote. No, he is your brother-in-law, right? Because she may say, okay, he sees with sun, moon, and fire, right? Because they're the witnesses for everything. Right? Because you can say, okay, you know, it's daytime, so the sun's out. You know, nighttime, the moon's out. Oh, there's no night, I'm inside, there's fire. Right? So, therefore, one sees everything. Right? And then she says, but he doesn't have any relation to me. No, he is your brother-in-law. You know, so then you have to consider this. My brother-in-law should be treated as my brother. Right? So you're supposed to respect. Thus he is my brother and your brother-in-law. Should you not be shy in front of him? I have said farewell to shyness and fear since I am suffering. Even you should not be afraid. Shiva should forgive you for everything since you are his relative and respected for greatness. Right? So you're spinning it and then taking another aspect. Right? So the whole idea is that you have The Dharma Shastra then explains a relationship from all the angles, but then you have to know which angle to apply in which situation. That's the meaning of time, place, circumstance, not just what I think should be done. Mm-hmm. Right? Generally, when we say, "Oh, but what about time, place, and circumstance?" means I want to do this.
Yes.
Right? That's generally what it means. But no, time, place, and circumstance means you have to take all of them because circumstance means the mood. We just think, okay, we say time, place, and circumstance because they go together, right?
Yeah.
But actually, we just mean place.
Yeah.
Because time means, is it the right time? Even if it's the right time, is it the right mood? So generally, whoever says time, place, and circumstance generally never considers these other two. They just go, in this place, I can make this profit, or I can get this management thing done. But they don't look at the time. Is it the right time? You know, just like the guy's talking with his wife, they're just having a good conversation. She's, you know, in the kitchen cooking, he's standing there, and then an important phone call comes. Right? So is that the right time for that phone? You know, yeah. So is it occupation or relationship? Right? We don't have to say which one he's going to take here. Right? And then he can't understand why the great night suddenly turned into a nightmare.
Yes.
Right? Because that was time. It was the wrong time. It may have been the right time for business, but it was the wrong time for the relationship. So if the business is to maintain the relationship, relationships first. Right? And then why don't we want to consider? Because then so much extra work is there. You know, that to put things back in place if you pick the relationship. But now if we don't, we pick the business, then how much time is to be spent to put back the relationship? Right? And you generally don't find you walk into the office one day, sit down at your desk, and there's a little envelope there. Right? You look at the envelope, open the envelope, and there's the business has filed divorce. Generally doesn't happen. Right? So we have to understand the reactions are greater in that, you know. So, you know, so the thing, I can fix it, yeah, if it's a machine, you know, if it's a business thing, you don't like somebody, fire them, get a new one. But, you know, it's, yeah. Okay? How did we get into that? Okay, yes, because Diti is spinning it and using a different angle. Right? She's using from the relationship, oh, he should forgive, but what about what's being done? Because he's talking about, he's in charge of these things. So it's an occupational thing, so you can't really spin it into there. And the point is that he should be, of course, he's used the personal relationship because he is brother-in-law. But at the same time is that aspect is there, there's a formality there a little bit. Does that make sense? It's a little bit more formal on the husband's side than on the wife's side. Like the husband to the wife's brother is a more relaxed relationship than the wife with the husband's brother, right? Because it's always the girl's side of the family, the relationships, it's always a little bit more close, and the boy's side is a little bit more formal. Right? Is that right? Okay. Okay, but then he says, he considers no one, then this is the retort, he considers no one his relative since he shows equality to all being the Lord. He describes his greatness, right? So you could say, no, but he doesn't consider himself a relative, but he's related to everybody. That's the whole. Means we're attached, we should consider the relationship. He's not attached, he doesn't have to. Or he does, he just doesn't. We pray for his enjoyed Mahaprasad remnants, filled with his power, which are rejected like an old garland by his feet. Having desires to fulfill by vows, let us be enjoyers of his remnants. Because they're enjoyers, so therefore then they should take his remnants and his blessings and then enjoy. He's not an enjoyer, so there's nothing for him to gain. Right? But it's not dry. All it is he's just stating the fact that he doesn't see that way. Right. So he's being kind to the ghosts, so he's moving at that time. So what happens? When ghosts move at that time, if you conceive a child, that's what you get. Right? It's a science. It's not sentiment. She's working on the relationship with the sentiment. But he's just working on mechanical facts. Mm-hmm. Like let's say I am cooking for someone, and I'm pouring the salt, and the top of the salt thing falls off. Right? Now, the preparation is going to be a bit more salty than I planned. Now, can I just say, oh, but he's the brother-in-law, he should understand, and all. It's still just assaulting. It's not by saying that, it goes away. So in the same way, the mechanics are going to remain the same. If you're moving as ghosts, ghosts can enter a living entity, you know, all the fancy terms, but the conception at that time, right? So then why won't they? Yes. That's their job. That's what they've been given. So since he's equal, then the point is this is their time, not her time. Yeah. Now if she moves at another time, then they don't have that right. Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's just mechanics. Yes. Maitreya continued, Diti was thus informed by her husband, but she was pressed by Cupid for sexual satisfaction. She caught hold of the clothing of the great Brahmana sage, just like a shameless public prostitute. Understanding his wife's purpose, he was obliged to perform the forbidden act, and thus, after offering his obeisances unto worshipable fate, he lay with her in a secluded place. 30-31. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in his purport to verse 30. Even though she was thus informed by her husband, she acted like a prostitute. Like, so it means the prostitute means it's not worried about social conventions and this and that. It's about getting profit. Right? Because for a prostitute, it's not about a relationship. It's about what you're going to gain from it. Right? So that's the whole point. So here she had something, an objective to gain. So that's all she was focused on. So that's the problem. Because as acting as the wife, then she would consider, because religious wife means she would consider the religious effects. She may not like it, but it's something to seriously consider. But here, she was so overwhelmed, she was not. Because right? He wasn't talking about long, because she's already approached him, then so that time is the twilight is there. He's already talked for a bit and tried to discuss the point, so a few more minutes have gone by.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just a matter of you have time for these things. Does that make sense? So then by the time all these things are in place, then the proper time is there. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Or because only her husband informed her, she acted like a prostitute. And she wasn't connecting it back to the Shastra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because being the husband, then she naturally has the control. Right? He should do, therefore he was obliged. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lust devours discrimination, which is shown by self-respect. The proof of this is Brahma along with men and Diti among women. Oh, Brahma among men and Diti among women. Right. So then, that's the point, what is it called? Lust devours discrimination. Right. So when you respect the self, then you know you're the soul, you have to act in this way.
Yes.
Right. So that's the problem with lust, that's why it's all devouring. It's, you know, basically your greatest enemy. But it's by devotional service and by the knowledge that comes from devotional service and that detachment that we can overcome it. That's the only real position. So that will be pointed out here, you know, that here, because he's not a devotee. Right? He's a great person. Being a Prajapati means you're the next step down from Brahma in piousness. Right? So you don't get more pious than that. So the amount of knowledge they know, the amount of piety, everything they have is very great. They're basically, the lifestyle is situated in goodness. But as we said, goodness has a touch of passion and ignorance in it. Therefore, he's affected. Right? But the devotee can go beyond. Right? Yes?
Can we say that it is like an accidental pull down?
Yes, it's accidental. But the point is it can be there. Well, with the devotee, as they go, we can see, he'll give the example of Haridas Thakur. Yeah. Isn't it? In this one? Yeah. That he's not. And here it's his Prajapati with his wife, Diti. Haridas Thakur, you're dealing with Maya herself. Like that. So she knows a few more tricks. You know? In other words, it's the same, you could say it's the same tricks, it's just the intensity is so much greater. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
And why is Brahma mentioned here?
Because of the daughter. Yes, the daughter. So Brahma with the daughter and Diti among the women. So because you're not going to get any higher positions than this. You know, among men you're not going to get a higher position than Brahma. Right? Because you're not going to see Shiva doing this. Right? The only time we see Shiva doing this is that when Krishna takes the form of a woman.
Yes.
But no material woman can do that. But Krishna takes the form of the woman. Right? So that doesn't count. But Brahma, then there, and then amongst women, here's one of the Prajapatis. So you're not going to get higher than that. In his purport to verse 31 and 32, Srila Prabhupada compares the character of Kasyapa Muni to Haridas Thakur. Kasyapa knew that the child born of such untimely sexual intercourse would certainly not be a good child, but could not protect himself because he was too obliged to his wife. Right, so that's the thing, is that being obliged is good, but not being obliged that it's going to be destructive.
Can we say there's a higher principle? I mean, being obliged, but the higher principle is...
The higher principle, but the point is that you have to apply the higher principle still within the relationship. You can't use the higher principle as an excuse to not deal properly in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the balance. That's the delicateness
of
it. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So the point is he could take a harder line. She's not going to appreciate it at the moment. She's going to get very grumpy. But at the same time, that he has that stability, and it is righteous, and it is for her benefit,
yes,
then after the grumpiness is over, she'll appreciate it. She may never tell him.
Okay.
But underlying, there's that understanding that he is strong and fixed in his position. Because that's always the thing, is someone is secure when they know their boundaries, but they want to know the boundaries are fixed.
Yeah. So they have to...
They have to go and, you know, check.
Yeah.
You know? And so if they see there's a consistency in everything, then that creates security. But otherwise, if sometimes the boundary's here, sometimes it's there, you actually become insecure. Right? So that's the whole thing, is relationships are very, it's a very comprehensive aspect.
And the man, the untrained man, will think he's accommodating the woman, but actually
yes, but he's accommodating why? That's what's going to come out, because that's what he would want.
Yes.
If it was something he really didn't want, he might have taken a stronger stand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, can she take the Ferrari out for a spin with her friends? Mm. That may be no. You know, yeah.
But this?
Yeah, you know. Okay. In a similar case, right, because here Prabhupada is saying obliged to his wife, here Prabhupada is using very cultured terms. You know? That's the fun part, is when you're talking mechanics, he can just say sexual intercourse. Right? But when it comes to the relationship, then he uses these fine terms. In the modern, you know, no one wants to say sexual intercourse, right? You always have to say something more delicate. But when it comes to the relationship, Chris Kasyapa knew that the child born of such an untimely intimacy would certainly not be a good child. But he could not protect himself because he was just too attached to his wife. That's how we're going to say it. Prabhupada says it the other way around. You understand why? Because the relationship is the main thing, and mechanics are mechanics. You understand?
Yes.
See, this is the mode of ignorance. It reverses it. And we think the Western is so developed, it's so refined.
Yes.
But it's yes, it is. And a lot of thought, but it's reversed.
Yes.
It's reversed itself. So the subtleties are that one should be subtle and correct. That's good. But you have to know where to apply it. Political correctness is very important. It's a Vedic principle. But you have to know where to apply it.
In yourself rather than others?
Yes. It's just, that it properly maintains relationships, not uses the relationships to get done what you want.
Yeah.
You know? Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. In a similar case, however, when Thakur Haridas was tempted by a public prostitute at the dead of night, he avoided the allurement because of his perfection in Krishna consciousness. So you both had Maya Devi and the prostitute. Right, so Maya Devi is going to be more cultured, but at the same time more intense. The prostitute is going to be less, but tricks are tricks, you know. Right, there's only so many tricks, right? He avoided the allurement because of his perfection in Krishna consciousness. That is the difference between a Krishna conscious person and others. Right, so that's the whole point. Right? Yes.
Kashyapa was worshiper of Shiva?
Basically. Because it'll come out that he's more of a impersonalist.
Hmm.
You know, he has great realization on the Brahman platform. But he doesn't know the Bhagavan platform. Now, that's the fun part in the Vedic system of not knowing the Bhagavan platform doesn't mean you don't know God. You just don't, it's you don't worry about the relationship. Just like, you know, everybody knows who's the head of the country. And you know he's a person, he has a family, and, you know, like this, and he goes on vacation. But you're not worried about him as a person and having a relationship as a person. So here, even the Brahmavadi can understand these things, but it's just like the four Kumaras. They heard about the personal relationship, but it was never an importance to them until they met the Lord. Like that. So they know he's a person, so they decided to go see him, but only after seeing him, then they actually understood the devotional importance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then they. Does that make sense? Yeah. So he would know, but he would mainly be, a follower of Shiva. Like that. Because being an impersonalist, he's more interested in the Brahman. Like that. So that's one of the ways to do it. Like that. Kashyapa Muni was greatly learned and enlightened, and he knew all the rules and regulations of systematic life. Yet, he failed to protect himself from the attack of sex desire. Thakur Haridas was not born of a Brahmin family, nor was he himself a Brahmana. But yet he could protect himself from such an attack due to his being Krishna conscious. Thakur Haridas used to chant the holy name of the Lord 300,000 times daily. Kasyapa Muni appears to be an impersonalist. Comparing his character with that of Thakur Haridas as referred to above, it is clear that the personalist is stronger in sense control than the impersonalist, because the impersonalist actually only has his knowledge to deal with.
Yes.
That's all you have, is that knowledge against. So if the attack is less than the power of the knowledge, then you'll win. But if the attack is greater than the intensity of your knowledge, you'll lose. Because you don't have, in other words, the attack is something emotional. You don't have something emotional to counteract it with, but relationship with the Lord, you do. So that's the thing. That's why, as you deepen the relationship with the Lord, dealing with the material energy becomes easier and easier. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Param Drishtva Nivartate, Bhagavad Gita 2:59. Quote, one ceases to accept lower grade things when one is situated in a superior condition. Right? So that superior condition is not just knowledge, but is also the relationship, the realization. Because of course, by the higher knowledge you can, but we can see is that between knowledge of the scripture and relationship with the Lord, the relationship with the Lord is the stronger. Right? So therefore, the relationship is the primary, the knowledge that comes from that is the secondary. Right? Does that make sense? Right. So one is supposed to be purified after taking bath and chanting Gayatri, but the Maha Mantra is so powerful that one can chant loudly or softly in any condition, and he is protected from all evils of material existence. Right? So taking one's bath, one's externally purified, mind spiritual, then one would chant Gayatri, then one is further purified. But the holy name, even without those conditions, you know, the bath and the sattvic environment in which you're chanting Gayatri, even without that, the holy name will work. And it's not even just you following the rule. Chant it loud, soft, however you're chanting it, it will work. Right? As we see, Ajamil.
Yeah.
That worked. Okay, So, in other words, Diti, she's not able to control because of her desire. Right?
Yes.
That is understandable.
Yes.
Kasyapa should have been stronger. But now we can see, being only an impersonalist, then it's understandable in comparison to the position of the devotee. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just, in other words, the reactions are going to come no matter how great or small you are, and only by devotional service can we actually elevate ourselves beyond, just the mundane. Yes.
And devotional service can counteract the mistake of the past.
Yes, but the main thing to counteract in the mistake of the past is the primary, or in other words, the consciousness. Whether it counteracts the secondary or the action and reaction aspect, that's not the consideration of the devotee.
Yes.
He wants to counteract the consciousness, because it's the consciousness that therefore was the cause of what he did. Right? Now, having removed that, what he did, I mean, having removed the consciousness, it's not so important whether the reaction is removed, because it may be a reaction, but it's not going to create any further wrong activity that will generate more reaction. Right? It means it's just like, I've done something wrong, I get the reaction, but now I know I'll not do that again. So I won't get any further reaction. Does that make sense? I put my finger in the fire, I get burnt. But it's not about, now that I understand that, the burn should go away. No, it's just a matter, now I know I don't put my finger in the fire, I won't get burnt again. So it's just a matter of time, and then this reaction will go away. Does that make sense? So, That's the Krishna karma. It's up to Krishna whether there is a reaction or not. Does that make sense? So if it's beneficial in some way or another for Krishna consciousness, then there may be a reaction. Or if it's beneficial that there isn't, there won't be. So even though you'd expect there isn't, even though you don't expect, there is. You know, don't expect means we always hope it's not. You know? We never expect. Verses 32 to 51. Kashyapa Muni foretells the birth of demoniac progeny. After the act was performed at its inappropriate time, Diti sought her husband's protection out of fear that her offense had enraged Shiva. You know, what happened to, he's going to forgive us, he's the brother-in-law. You know, in other words, she knows it's wrong, but her desire is overwhelming her, right? Yeah. So in other words, she has knowledge in religion, and it's overwhelming. He has knowledge in religion and in the science of jnana, but he's overwhelmed. Right? So both have that desire. And so, because you can see it's a weakness, that's why are they Prajapatis? Right? They're the most pious living entities in the universe, but they have an interest in the procreative position. Not in the sense gratification for it. Like here, you don't see that she's into the sense gratification. It's about having kids. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's the difference. From Indra on down, it's about what you get out of the procreative process. You know, and then kids are there also. Prajapatis, it's about the kids. You know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he wants to have the kids. You know? But the problem is, you know, they all should have waited. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're in a different category, but the principle still remains.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Kashyapa condemned the inauspiciousness of the act and predicted that the sons in her womb would later be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said that due to her faith, her son would be the great devotee Prahlad, would see the Lord both within and without. Diti was thus pleased. So it's not that she didn't have the faith, it's just she's overwhelmed. So we see we're getting a mixed result. She has that faith, so there'll be some great benefit there. But at the same time, it's because it was improper, there's also going to be that reaction. We see? So that's the mixed aspect. So you want to avoid this. Does that make sense? Yes.
Was Diti also an impersonalist? Is that why she was overwhelmed?
No, that we don't worry about here. That's not the consideration. The consideration is with him. With her, the consideration is the feminine nature. Maitreya said, thereafter the Brahmana took his bath in the water and controlled his speech by practicing trance, meditating on the eternal effulgence, and chanting the holy Gayatri hymns within his mouth. Diti, after this, went near to her husband, her face lowered because of her faulty action. Right? So in other words, now he's gone, taken his bath, he's purified himself. She would have gone and taken her bath and purified. Why it's not mentioned? You don't talk about ladies taking baths. You know what I'm saying? And according to the rule, is they don't use the same bath place. Right? He uses his place, she uses her place. Does that make sense? Because the intimacy, then they're counted as one. But when the intimacy is over, they go back again to being male and female. Does that make sense? So he uses his bather, she uses hers. Okay? So you know, that's the okay. So she went near to her husband. Her face lowered because of her faulty action. Right? Because being religious, she knows what's right and wrong. It's just she's overwhelmed. Now there's in other words, always anxiety. You understand? This is the principle why the woman is compared to a Shudra. Not that she is a Shudra. That's a faulty understanding. But because the element of always lamenting. Yes. Lament, I have to do this. No, it's going to create a bad thing. No, I have to do this. Okay, then you've done it. No, what about the bad reaction for having done it when I shouldn't have? You know, so because what does it do? It creates an intensity. It creates a fullness. It creates a focus.
Experience?
Yes. So now if you can change that from the material to the spiritual, then it's always about Krishna, so it's always glorious.
Yeah. You understand?
So, but you see, it's always a consideration of religious elements. You know, he's talking about all these other aspects of Shiva. She's just talking about the relationship.
Yeah.
You understand? So it still maintains within. So if you can connect that religion within relationships and then transfer that to the transcendental, then it works very nicely. That's the...
Yeah.
Right? Okay. She spoke as follows. My dear Brahmana, kindly see that my embryo is not killed by Lord Shiva, the Lord of all living entities, because of the great offense I have committed against him. Right? 32 to 34. Now she's not saying, yeah, well, you know, I deserve it. No, she's saying no, because now that's the motherly mood. Don't let it be destroyed. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 34. You understand? So you can always see the masculine and feminine principle functioning, no matter what's the level, what's the situation. Right? Yeah. Diti was conscious of her offense and was anxious to be excused by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has two popular names, Rudra and Ashutosh. He is very prone to anger as well as quickly pacified. Diti knew that because of his being quickly angered, he might spoil the pregnancy she had so unlawfully achieved. But because he was also Asutosh, she implored her Brahmana husband to help her in pacifying Lord Shiva, for her husband was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So again, using the different aspects of the situation. But the point is it's still working within the scriptural elements and working within relationship. Does that make sense? So this part of it, this is the good part. Right? How to make it work nicely, how to pacify everybody, how to make all the relationships work nice. You know, so that's the whole point, because there's a moment that it doesn't, that's understood. And then, but afterwards, then, how to go back to... Does that make sense? Because that's the thing. The man should be situated that he's always doing that. And it's increasing. But the woman, it'll be prominently this, but there has to be some of that to make this, you know, important. Does that make sense? Yes.
Mark, you mentioned that if Galadon's scar is not there, then there's after the fact you can still adjust the fact.
You can, but it doesn't mean that you get a different soul. You know, it's not like there's a walk-in at this point. It just means they get the effect of the purification. Does that make sense? It means Garbhadan being performed at the proper time, then you attract a soul who is purified. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you have a nice lake with lotuses and everything. What do you find there?
Swans.
Now you have a garbage pile. What do you find there? Crows. So that's the whole point. You won't find crows at the nice lake, and you won't find swans at the other. You know. So in other words, performing Garbhadan later, then you get a pleasant crow. you understand? You know. Does that make sense? So it's not that we can work it all. No. The point is yes, it's better. But it's still not, and then you do everything else, and you definitely it's going to be. But you're working with something less and trying to make something better out of it. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to get a purse. It just won't be silk. You understand? Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. Yeah, someone pointed out yesterday some of our, these things that we make are so obtuse that hardly, like I said something yesterday in the class and only one person got it. It was about going on and checking your account on the Mukh Grant.
I got it.
Oh, you got it. Okay, so that's two. Well,
Sanskrit for face.
Mook is face, grunt is book. Just in Sanskrit, yeah. Right. It's Indian guys. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. In other words, Lord Shiva might have been angry with Diti because she obliged her husband to transgress the law, because she knows she's the one that does, because if she hadn't pushed at that time, he wouldn't cave in. Right? So it's not... It's... Yes. In other words, if he had that stronger position, she would push and see it's not going to work and then adjust. She doesn't like it, but she'll adjust. But she can push and see it will work, so then she takes that position and says shameless, like a shameless prostitute, and then pushes it over the edge, right? So that's it, because she knows, because as we said, she's in control. Right? As we were saying before, that creates security, right? But it's supposed to be, he is, position is stronger. But, you know, yes.
So although he was preaching to her, then she sensed that in the back of his mind, he wanted to enjoy action.
Yes. So otherwise, why would she take that position? Otherwise, he would react very strongly. And that'll really blow the mood, right? You know, which you don't want to do. But he's, because he's saying everything nicely, but he's not taking that strong position. You know, as Prabhupada pointed out in the earlier purports. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, one device, I think it was Abhi, was explaining about... I can't remember if it was him or maybe it was someone with him. They went horse riding. And the person was on this horse. And the horse was not doing anything they wanted. And then the horse trainer that's there, that, you know, they were there to, you know, learn horse riding and do, so there's a trainer there that, you know, rides with them. And they say, this horse is not, I want a different horse. Trainer says, nothing to do with the horse, it's you. Says, you don't know how to deal with the horse. The horse knows it can do all this stuff and get away with it. He says, you know, and kid says, you know, I want a horse like your horse. He says, okay, we'll train. So the trainer got on the other horse, perfectly did everything it wanted. So the thing is like that. The they know. Women, kids, and dogs, they know. In this case, throwing horses. Right? Okay. In other words, Shiva might have been angry with Diti because she obliged her husband to transgress the law. But he would not refuse her husband's prayer, right? Because he's a devotee and his brother.
Yes.
Right? And I think he's older brother. No, he's younger. No, he has to be, because he said younger brother.
Yeah.
But I thought Shiva was after the Kumaras.
Shiva was right after the Kumaras.
But maybe the relationship, he's like younger brother. Okay, so it's just saying here. It was in the verse, right? Wasn't it?
Yes. He's the younger brother of your husband.
Yes, he's a younger brother. So then especially younger brother would be, you know, more open to something by the elder brother. Let me offer my obeisances unto the angry Lord Shiva, who is simultaneously the very ferocious great demigod and fulfiller of all material desires. He is all auspicious and forgiving, but his anger can immediately move him to chastise. Let him be pleased with us, since he is my brother-in-law, the husband of my sister, Sati. He is also the worshipable Lord of all women. He is the personality of all opulences and can show mercy towards women, who are excused even by the uncivilized hunters. 35-36. Diti prayed for the mercy of Lord Shiva very cleverly. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains her anxious thoughts in his purport to verse 35. She gives proof for her repentance. He will make me weep, but he will also remove my sorrow, two meanings of Rudra. Since he is a great lord, we will forgive my offense, but since he is fierce, he will destroy my child. Yet he is liberal, so he will sprinkle the creeper my desire with mercy. Since he is auspicious, devoid of giving punishment. But still, he will punish me, since he is the personification of anger. Right? So you get this constant going back and forth, back and forth.
right?
So that aspect is seeing both of these, and because they're contradictory, that's what then you know gives more of the flavor, right? So that would be the.
Is that because Shiva is in this unique position, kind of between spiritual and material, that can, or is that under?
You have, but no, the Lord is the same.
It's the same.
Yeah. It's just everything has contradictory aspects. But you notice when he's pointing them out, then it's not as much about the contradiction as just the intellectual aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But here she's pointing it out from the emotional. You understand?
Yes.
So that's the thing. Different. The flavor is slightly different.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 36 explains Diti's attempt to make doubly sure of Lord Shiva's favor. Lord Shiva is the husband of Sati, one of the sisters of Diti. Right? So, in other words, her sister's husband, so there should be some connection there, and then her husband's brother.
That's also...
Yeah, so then from both sides she can kind of like hopefully work this one out. Right? Diti invoked the pleasure of her sister Sati so that Sati would request her husband to excuse her. Beside that, Lord Shiva is the worship of the Lord of all women. He is naturally very kind towards women on whom even the uncivilized hunters also show their mercy. Since Lord Shiva is himself associated with women, he knows very well their defective nature. And he might not take very seriously Diti's unavoidable offense, which occurred during her faulty due to her faulty nature. Every virgin girl is supposed to be a devotee of Lord Shiva. Diti remembered her childhood worship of Lord Shiva and begged his mercy. Right? So they all, since he is the shelter of material energy, which is the original, you know, archetypical form of the femininity in the material world. That means every girl is connected with him in that way. So before marriage, then every girl is supposed to worship him to acquire a good husband. Right? So she's looking back on, she used to worship before she got married, and so then he should be kind to her. Right? So it's, and that's because he knows the defective nature. Because his wife is the origin of all nature within the material world, so naturally he knows her nature. So then he'll be kind to all others. So he's not an illusion. Because why? He's Purusha, right? The jivas are Prakriti, so they're trying to be masculine, right? You ever see that you have a bunch of girls, you know, and they're playing, and then somebody becomes the king or the man or like this. It's always so very melodramatic.
Yeah.
You know, if there's makeup, there's going to be a mustache. Right? You know? And he's really, really like this, you know? And so, you know, girls appreciate that. So that's the whole point. But he's not a girl who's pretending to be a boy. He is a boy. You understand? So therefore, that the nature, the feminine nature, has this kind of defect is not going to bother him, because being Purusha, he's the shelter of that nature. Does that make sense? So that's why then, therefore, he is connected with all women. So she's banking on this, you know, that he's going to know that, be very kind, since all girls, and she also worshipped him. You know, and then she, you know, he's the husband of her sister. You know, so she's relying more on that side than her husband and being the brother-in-law. Since he didn't work out so good for this one, he may not work out so good for that. Though he does tell her, but, you know, tell him that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maitreya said, the great sage Kasyapa thus addressed his wife, who was trembling because of her fear that her husband was offended. She understood he had been dissuaded from his daily duties of offering evening prayers. Yet she desired the welfare of her children and the world. Like, he was doing his evening prayers, so there were probably a few more prayers to be done before she came. Right? So she's thinking, you know, because he's regulated, he does everything nice, and that's the position. Otherwise, why would she marry him unless she respected him as someone who is regular and regulated like that? Does that make sense?
Yes.
But the girl wants to know that she can, she's more important.
Yeah.
but at the same time, as in a general thing where it doesn't disturb, you know, it's okay. It's one thing it disturbs. Okay, the making you lost that contract or something like that. That's one thing. You know, or at the board meeting, they're all looking at you funny because the wife is talking to you on the phone right when you're making your presentation. You know, these kind of things. But that's one thing, because then it's just a facility for her. It's another thing about the children. Right? So she's going to be more protective of the children. So she's really hoping. Does that make sense? Yeah. The learned sage said, because your mind's being polluted because of defilement of the particular time, because of your negligence of my directions, and because of your being apathetic to the demigods, everything was inauspicious. Right? And here he's just discussing about her. It's not that he wasn't party to it. He's just discussing her part in it. Yeah. Right? Because her part is going to, because the nature of the child's going to take on hers. Right? If it's sons, it's going to take on her nature.
So it's not like...
You're going to have his spirit, but her mood.
So it's not accusative. It's not like he's accusing.
No, no. It's just, he's just pointing out that this is how it's worked, because of the polluted consciousness. Right? So in all this, is that mind's polluted, right, with desire, and it wasn't that, you know, we're Prajapatis, we should have kids, so let's make some plan here. It's that my sisters all have... He has 13 wives... And so 12 of them have kids, she doesn't. And so, you know, that's not good. Yes. You know, so that's the thing. Defilement of the particular time. So that means the time is the judgment of action. Right? Because time and action are there. So because of lack of purity of time, that means lack of purity in action, that means lack of purity in results. Right? Because of your negligence of the direction, she's not listening to authority. Because of her being apathetic to the demigods, you know, higher authority, you know, and the actual universal law. So everything was inauspicious. Right? So she's just not following anything. So what's good about it? So you can't expect the children will be great. You know? Yeah. Okay. Oh, haughty one. Right, because haughty is because she was very confident in her position and her power over her husband. Right? And woman being fire melts butter, right? Mm-hmm. You keep fire close to butter, it melts. Right? So butter shouldn't place itself next to fire, but if fire walks over and grabs the butter, then you know it's not, you know, like that. So that's the whole point, is he's saying haughty one. Because naturally she's the more powerful one. You will have two contemptuous sons born of your condemned womb. Unlucky woman, they will cause constant lamentation to the three worlds. They will kill poor, faultless living entities. Right? Because the whole idea of being Prajapati is you create nice population that makes everything grow. So she's created population that will get rid of population that already exists. Right? So kind of the opposite of what a Prajapati is supposed to be doing. Right? Okay, kill poor, faultless living entities, torture women, and enrage the great souls. Right? So none of that is good. You can't say that, you know, that's my boy. You know, he wouldn't want to use that one, right? At the same time, the Lord of the Universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the well-wisher of all living entities, will descend and kill them. Just as Indra smashes the mountains with his thunderbolts. Diti said, it is very good that my sons will be magnanimously killed by the arms of the Personality of Godhead with the Sudarshan weapon. Right? How many moms could claim, my kid was killed by the Lord?
Yeah, rare.
Yeah, so then, you know. Oh, my husband, may they never be killed by the wrath of the Brahmana devotees. Right? Because that's worse. Mm. Because then they're totally condemned. They're killed by the Lord, they're benedicted. But they're killed by the Brahmins, then that's it. They don't have nothing good's going for them. A person who is condemned by a Brahmana or is always fearful to other living entities is not favored either by those who are already in hell or by those in the species in which he is born. So in other words, no one likes him. Footnote 4. A practical example of condemned species of life is the dogs. Dogs are so condemned that they never show any sympathy to their contemporaries. 42 purport. So the other dogs don't like them, and no one else likes them. Somehow or another, the man's best friend. I don't know how that works, but hey.
Men who don't, who nobody likes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, same kind as, now in French, do you have the same man's, dog's man's best friend? Is that the consideration? Yeah, also.
Yeah, that's a mystery.
So it's more of a European thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So over here, definitely they're not considered man's best friend.
Oh, no.
Like you go farther east, and they're a good meal, but not necessarily.
They like them, but in a different way.
That's the one thing. When you go to China, there are no dogs running around. You just don't see them. It's easy. Like that. You don't have to call the man down the street and, the guys to come along catch him from the pound and all that.
My uncle was working in China once. He said where he was, there were no birds. They'd shot them all. They didn't like the sound.
Yeah, yeah.
The birds chirping.
No, there's one city where the birds were making a mess in the city.
Okay.
So then they made a plan. Everyone in the city went out in the street with, like a pot and a spoon, something to make noise. And wherever the birds were, they all went there and just banged them, and the birds couldn't settle, So they were flying till they got so tired, then they fell to the ground, and the people picked them up, took them home. And that was it. There were no more birds in that city. So that's determination. That's cooperation.
Yeah, yeah.
No one else could do that.
Wow.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. When Diti heard from her husband that the great souls would be angered by the activities of her sons, she was very anxious. She thought that her sons might be killed by the wrath of the Brahmins. The Lord does not appear when the Brahmanas become angry at someone, because the wrath of a Brahmana is sufficient in itself. Right? They take care of themselves. That's what Manu mentions. The Brahmins technically don't have to go to the Kshatriyas. They just take care of themselves. Their own wrath will destroy them. He certainly appears, however, when his devotees simply become sorry. The devotee of the Lord never prays the Lord to appear for the sake of the troubles the miscreants cause for him, and he never bothers him by asking for protection. So just that he feels bad, the Lord appears.
Yeah.
Right? Because the devotee doesn't pray for that. So we don't have to pray for the Lord for these things. It's just naturally just taken care of. Rather, the Lord is anxious to give protection to the devotees. Diti knew well that the killing of her sons by the Lord would also be his mercy, and therefore she says that the wheel and arms of the Lord are magnanimous. If someone is killed by the wheel of the Lord and is thus fortunate enough to see the arms of the Lord, that is sufficient for his liberation. Such good fortune is not achieved even by the great sages. Right? So something that the great sages, because just below them are the great sages. So something that they can't obtain, her sons are going to obtain. So then in that way, it's a great fortune.
Yeah.
So that way she's,
a little bit of a detour, but...
Yeah, so that's what we're saying. It's a mixed result. So ultimately, there's an auspicious result. But as far as the social element, it's not. Because socially it wasn't auspicious, so socially it won't be auspicious. But because of the other attitude... then that will be auspicious. Do we see?
Yes.
It means a devotee is performing their activities because they're doing it to please Krishna. Then there'll be all auspiciousness and that one will devotionally develop. But if there's material desire within that, depending upon that's piety or impiety, one will get the results.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The two are not connected to each other. Does that make sense?
But we're not really sure that devotees are not.
The point is that she's. There's the universal process. She's surrendered to that aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
A little late, but in any case, it's happened. So things will work out nicely. The learned Kasyapa said, because of your lamentation, penance, and proper deliberation, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your adoration for Lord Shiva and me, Right? So that explains there. So she has that unflinching faith in the personality of Godhead. He doesn't mention that he has that so much. Mm. He's more, you know, connected with Shiva. But she does. Right?
Yes.
One of the sons, Prahlad, of your son, Hiranyakashipu, will be an approved devotee of the Lord. Right? Not just a devotee, but an approved devotee. So that means someone who sets example. Mm. And his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the personality of Godhead. In order to follow in his footsteps, saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying process rectifies gold of inferior quality. Right? So here is his father will be like the personification of animosity. But he will be someone who the sages try to act according to his example to become free from animosity. Right? So here again, the contradiction. But that's what brings out the niceness. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the niceness is in the contrast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that. That's the... Everyone will be pleased with him because the personality of Godhead, the supreme controller of the universe, is always satisfied with a devotee who does not wish for anything beyond him. That topmost devotee of the Lord will have expanded intelligence and expanded influence and will be the greatest of great soul. So this is the whole thing, does not wish for anything beyond him. Right? Right, so you have to make an adjustment in the song. All you want for Krishna is Krishna. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's the whole point, is there's nothing else that he wants. He has no material desires. That's what would be special about it. Right? So he'll be known as a great devotee. Diti's not known. She's a devotee, but not known as a great devotee. Right? But Prahlad is. So he's one of the Mahajanas. So, therefore, expanded intelligence, he's able to see everything in connection with the Lord, expanded influence, therefore others will follow his example. And will be the greatest of the great souls. So you have the great souls, and then the greatest of them are the Mahajanas. Right? You have Janas, or the great soul, and Mahajanas, right? So the great. Due to mature devotional service, he will certainly be situated in transcendental ecstasy and will enter the spiritual sky after quitting this material world. Right? So mature devotional service by this then starts at Baba. Right?
That's okay.
You know, like that. So
yeah.
He will be a virtuously qualified reservoir of all good qualities. He will be jolly and happy in others' happiness, distressed in others' distress, and will have no enemies. Like he won't have any. It doesn't mean that others don't consider him an enemy. Right? He will be a destroyer of the lamentation of the universes, like the pleasant moon after the summer sun. Your grandson will be able to see inside and outside the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose wife is the beautiful goddess of fortune. Right, so what does that mean? If we say he'll be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead inside and outside, whose wife is the beautiful goddess of fortune, why throw that in? Good.
Narayan?
I mean, saying yes, but what aspect of the Lord? No, because Paramatma you don't see with the beautiful goddess of fortune, you see with the Shivas. You understand? So in other words, inside and outside, so that's going to be Brahman and Paramatma, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's with the beautiful goddess of fortune, in other words, Bhagavan. So that's going to be the specialness of him, is he's able to see Bhagavan everywhere. Right? It doesn't mean that you're not using the elements of Brahman and Paramatma, but you know it's Bhagavan who is expanding and doing this.
Yes.
The Lord can assume the form desired by the devotee, and his face is always beautifully decorated with earrings. So whatever form the devotee desires, that's the form he takes. So according to one's surrender, that's the mood, that's what you get, right? In other words, the love of the Brajabasis, then for there he's a cowherd boy, right? The love of the Dwarkavasis, he's a king, right? The love of the Vaikuntavasis, he's God. You understand? So whatever form, then that's how he'll be seen.
Yes.
But he's always beautifully decorated with earrings, so it means he as a person looks very nice. So again, you see, you're getting all, when the prayers are there, they touch on the element of Brahman, on Paramama, and then on Bhagavan. So you have all three aspects. Srila Prabhupada glorifies Prahlad Maharaj's outstanding qualities in his purports of verses 46 and 49. Yoga practice, the process of purifying one's existential identity, is based mainly on self-control. Without self-control, one cannot practice freedom from animosity. Because animosity means it's going to be anger. Anger is going to come because you don't get to fulfill your desire. Right? So becoming free from animosity means becoming freed from that self-centeredness. Right? So then you actually come to one's existential identity, that I am the soul, not the body. Because the body is not existential. Right? It means it is existing, but because it's temporary, we don't actually consider that actual existential. So devotees are the real existentialists. Right? Because they're dealing with the soul, which actually exists. Because something is temporary, technically you can't call it existing. It's there, but it's not really existing. So it's considered for social interaction and everything like that, for the time of his existence. But you have to actually really consider the soul, which is the real existence. Right? So yoga is for understanding, purifying one's existential identity. Right? But through yoga, you purify your understanding that we're not the body, we're the soul. Right? So karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, they all do that. But of that, bhakti is the most powerful. Right? In the conditional state, every living entity is envious of another living entity, right? Because it reduces options.
Yeah.
You know? But in the liberated state, there is an absence of animosity. Prahlad Maharaj is tortured by his father in so many ways, yet after the death of his father, he prayed for his father's liberation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Not a common point. Right? Yeah. He did not ask any benediction that he might have asked, because he could have asked for anything, but he didn't ask. But he prayed that his atheistic father might be liberated. He never cursed any of the persons who engaged in torturing him at the instigation of his father. Because the point is they're only torturing because his father said. And if they don't torture, then he'll torture them also. You know, so then one could, of course, say, hey, they don't have company. But, but the point is he doesn't see others as that this one is doing wrong to me. They're only an instrument.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that was the discussion of Dharma.
Mm.
You know, who's done this to you? And then it says it's hard to say who's done it. Because you can say this man, but he's only an instrument for the modes of nature. You say the modes of nature are doing it, but the modes are only acting according to my previous desire. So technically, I'm doing this to myself.
Yes.
Prahlad Maharaj, the exemplary devotee of the Lord, had all the good qualities humanly possible. Although he was the emperor of this world, he was not profligate. Is that how you say it?
Profligate.
Anyone know? We're missing our...
Profligate.
Huh?
Profligate.
Okay. Yeah, you never know it. What language it came from, so therefore which way you say it. And that we don't say... Okay, profligate. So profligate means that they're, degraded.
Okay.
Debauchery. They take advantage of the position, enjoy themselves, and which is standard what we think of someone in a position of authority.
Yes.
Your typical bad guy, is a guy with power and he's a profligate.
Yes.
That's how you know. If he's bad, he's doing bad things, but he's a nice guy, like Robin Hood, then it's really hard. You kind of have to take his side, you know, because then the king, he's the prophet. Yes. And if they're all profligates, then it's just whoever's better at it, you know. Okay. Beginning from his childhood, he was the reservoir of all good qualities. Without enumerating those qualities, it is said here summarily that he was endowed with all good qualities. Right? Because whatever you think of, he's got it. So, that is the sign of a pure devotee. The most important characteristic of a pure devotee is that he is not lumpata, or licentious. And another quality is that he is always eager to mitigate the miseries of suffering humanity. Right? So this lumpata, that's profligate. Right? The most obnoxious misery of a living entity is this forgetfulness of Krishna. Because that's what causes all the other ones. The different ones come and go, depending on your piety or impiety. Then your miseries are, you know, how you say? Your misery is trying to keep your 100-roomed house clean.
Yes.
Right? You know. That's and the work, and then, you know, they just, you know, how you say? What's that term? You just don't get good hired help these days.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you know.
You have to be on them all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. But I think there's quite an old saying, so it appears that they've always been a problem. A pure devotee, therefore, always tries to evoke everyone's Krishna consciousness. Because if you go for that, it gets rid of all the other problems. Right? Because Prabhupada came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, okay, all this is very nice that you're preaching about God consciousness, but how can India, you know, be God conscious when they're controlled by the British?
Yes.
Right? They're controlled by foreigners. Get rid of the foreigners, then we can consider. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point was no. It has no connection. Is that you can become God-conscious despite the material situation. It's not that you have to make everything materially nice, then be God-conscious, because there is no such thing as material nice. Because whatever you get, there's always something more. Right? This is the panacea for all miseries. That's why preaching Krishna consciousness, giving prasad, you know, connecting people to Krishna, that's the real welfare. Right? Does that make sense?
Everything else.
That takes care of everything. Then if you do these secondary aspects along with that, nice. But to do the secondary and not do the primary, then it's a waste of time. You know, it's good for today, but then tomorrow it'll be gone. And then their body will be gone, they'll get another body. So unless they improve Krishna consciousness, then that will last. It'll improve. If it doesn't improve, next life. At some point. So every devotee gives something, and then eventually it develops into Shraddha, they take up devotional service. Is that? The sage Maitreya concluded, hearing that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her sons would be killed by Krishna, Diti was highly pleased in mind. 51. Referring to verse 51, Srila Prabhupada comments, as the wife of a great sage and the daughter of a great Prajapati, Daksha, she knew that being killed by the personality of Godhead is a great
fortune.
Right? So she wasn't thinking that this is not good. It wasn't like Kamsa who thought this is not a great idea. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti concludes, she became joyful. Quote, my sinful acts will produce such a rare result, the summation of all pious actions. End quote. She became joyful at her good fortune. She was pleased since her sons would attain a glorious fame and fortunate end. So, you know, seeing the good side. You have to see the good side. Otherwise, you can't go on. Does that make sense? Yes.
In this case, Kashyapa Muni is praying and explaining many important things.
Mainly?
Many
important things, yes. Yes, yes.
Yes.
Because, see, that up to the position of liberation, the knowledge of the devotee and the knowledge of the impersonalist are exactly the same. Because real knowledge about the soul and about, you know, the workings of the modes of nature and conditioning and the liberation of the soul, it's just one body of knowledge. But for the impersonalist, it's the goal. For the devotee, it's simply knowledge and tools. It's not a goal. That's the difference. But otherwise, what we say and what a bona fide impersonalist says will be exactly the same when you're dealing with the material world. The difference is not beyond. That was the thing here. That is the panacea for all miseries. So they're thinking this is the panacea for all miseries, but it's not, because it doesn't actually connect them to Krishna. So even they get liberation, which is the idea is to get rid of all material misery, it still will maintain that last little trace of material misery, because there's nothing to do, and as a soul you have to do something. Right? And so that inactivity itself will become a botheration. So that's the whole point, is that the only thing that gets rid of all problems is Krishna consciousness. Now, because we function as people in a social environment, therefore we use these varieties of mediums that we would call good to express the Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So sometimes devotees will discuss being good, being nice, social, everyone working together, the community, and loving each other and all that. Nice, but you notice in the whole discussion, where was the God consciousness? You understand? So that didn't get connected. So even if everything becomes nice and good, they still won't be happy. Otherwise, Indra would be the happiest guy around. But he's not. He's always getting into trouble because he's not happy. Some sage is doing some meditation, he gets really worried. You know? So that's the thing. He's constantly... And as far as material sense gratification goes, material trying to enjoy yourself, he's as good as it gets. And look what, you know, he ends up with, you know. You know, it's just like, he wouldn't be able to use this blanket. It would get in his eyes. You know, it'd be a problem.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
What,
yeah. You know, so that's the whole thing. You see, he has problems. So the only real panacea is Krishna consciousness. Now, the point is, since you're doing the best, it should be expressed through the best. Therefore, all these nice cultural elements, the dharma, the cultural elements, the proper sense gratification, the proper understanding of not being the body, all that's there. So, but because we don't make that distinction, because we always work on one or the other, then we think, well, it's either about the social or it's all about Krishna consciousness, has no social consideration. So we don't have to be nice, we don't have to be considerate, we don't have to be anything. You know? And then what's the result? You know, okay, that didn't work, so then come back to, you know, pure Krishna consciousness with social consideration. No, just throw out that, you know, radical, fanatic Krishna consciousness, and then be social. You understand? But for many, that position is way better than they started off with. You know, so there's been some purification, so they actually consider social, because before they didn't. So you can say they've been benefited, but it's not the real benefit. The real benefit is their Krishna consciousness. So you give that to others, that's where they really get benefit. Yes.
How about Shiva consciousness?
Shiva consciousness?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes. No, but we have here Kashyapa, he's worshipping Shiva, so...
You'll get liberation.
You'll get liberation, and then you'll just, like...
And then he'll come back.
Yeah. So,
I mean, otherwise, how do you end up as these kind of, you know, great personalities? Yeah. One is you elevate yourself up, or you drop down into it.
So, Shiva worshipper of Brahmavad is... What's the difference? The same thing?
Same. Yes. But you may be directing it at Shiva, you may not. You may be also a devotee, but appreciate Shiva's service. Mm-hmm. And so you can end up with him in the Brahma Jyoti. Mm-hmm. We'll see more detail. We saw some detail with Narad Muni, but we'll see more detail with Gopa Kumar. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. You know, much more detail of what goes on and stuff like that. Because this was just about the devotee and a little bit of his environment, but only as much as support of his service. The other is very much explaining the environment, and then... Is that, yeah. Okay. And then on that note, then the next page that gives the, yes, that gives the full understanding. Right. Okay. Then we come down from that Brahman platform where we get to the question. One doubt about prayers. So whether it's worth making the prayers since all this went on anyway.
We should not pray for
protection
because we will need protection anyways. But at the same time.
Yeah, but if you're going to, if you feel, you know, interested to offer prayers for protection, then offer them to Krishna. But the point is the devotee is just absorbed in thinking about Krishna, and so therefore Krishna is taking care. If the only time you're absorbed in thinking about Krishna is praying for protection, then good. At least then you're thinking about Krishna. Or meaning is the devotee's always thinking about Krishna. So if there's a situation that's not nice, then Krishna takes care. Either someone else is doing something wrong or you've done something wrong. But in either case, Krishna takes care. But, does that make sense? But if the only time you think about Krishna is to ask for something, then ask. At least it's connected to Him. You understand? So that's the point. Devotional service is glorious because anything connected to Him is perfect. But within perfect, there's more perfect. There's most perfect. You know, so the thing is, oh, if Ajamil, all he says in Orion, then I don't have to, I can do all the nonsense I want and then, you know, think of Krishna the time of death. Yeah, he says, you know, as long as you're calling, you know, as long as you're 88 and you have a 2-year-old kid who you would want to call his name, you know.
Like, good luck with that.
Yeah, you know, me and my wife, we're working on adopting a kid, you know, it's like, but you're 80 years old, you know, so I said, yeah, that's, you right. know, but, you know, that's the whole point.
I don't have a lot of time left.
So, there's more. It's not like, hey, I can do whatever I want, then. No, it's not a matter you can do whatever you want. It's a matter of you do what you want, okay. And that part's that's not going to work out so great. But the part that you connected something to Krishna, that's the part that'll get the benefit.
My wife is pray for me so I can go to Mayapur, pray for me to refresh.
No, but you could pray for someone else. We're talking about you praying for yourself.
Prabhupada said, pray every day so we don't get in Maya.
Yeah, I mean, that's we want to be able to remember Him and not get distracted by Maya. That's the thing. But it's not like, you know, we get out our, how you say, a guitar and start asking for Mercedes-Benz. does that make sense? But if you really want a Mercedes-Benz and don't have any other process, then you go to Him. Because at least then you're approaching Him. You know, maybe at least you get a Fiat or something. One of those little three-wheeled, those little Dickie Citroens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you always see the nuns driving around and stuff.
Two horse.
Yeah, the two horse. Yeah. Like that. Little dinky thing. Like that. Yeah. Come on, someone could pick it up. It's like,
were they the ones with the door in the front?
No, that was the three-wheeled ones. Okay. Oh, no, they had four. That was even smaller.
Okay.
That was even smaller. Yeah. Those are, yeah. No, but this one was, it had, you know, like that, and it was round. I think it was a Citroen. Maybe they were both Citroens. Oh, well, whatever. Yeah, down the road. So, yeah.
We'll see her driving around in it soon.
Yeah. Does that make sense? And praying for others and all that, you know, because in other words, getting the well wishes of a devotee are always beneficial. So if they ask you to pray, then that means then they'll get benefit. Like that. And being, you know, pray to be in, you know, proper Krishna consciousness and all this. That's there. You know. But if there's a problem, you turn to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, I don't turn to Krishna, you know, I'm not able to get service and I can't, you know, and I could get some service, I can't maintain myself. And I have some service, I don't want any, you know, being taken care of from the service. So therefore, I'll not do service. you know, and therefore end up on Bondi Beach. So that's not what you're looking for. That's not the meaning of don't pray to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? We should always be connected to Krishna. Is that okay? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaur Prabhupada.